After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well, and picked up his pallet, and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. Do you want what I can give you? Jesus was asking the man a question. Do you wish to get well? The answer might be obvious, but think for a moment about how many people in Jesus' time and ever since, and people who you know, who are happy to live in their sin and who do not want God's salvation. They do not want life transformation such as what the Bible talks about. They are happy to continue to struggle on as best as they can, hope as best as they can, fight as best as they can for whatever they can grab. It's like Jesus is standing right in front of them and saying, "Do you want what I can give you?" Now, it needs to be said that there have been many people who have stood in front of me offering me something and even offering it freely, and I have said to them, "Thank you, but no thanks. My rooms are full, my closets are full, my garage is full. I do not want what you have to give to me." But Jesus obviously is someone very different than just someone who wants to unload something, albeit granted something of value. Jesus comes to each of us and says, "Do you want the salvation? Do you want a different life than what you have had before? Do you want what I can give you?" All too many have said no, strange as that might be. This man received something that he never dreamed he would see in his lifetime. But let's back up and think about what's going on in this miracle here in Jerusalem. As John has moved us very quickly through the first four chapters of John, we've been bouncing back and forth. We've been to the Jordan, there by where John was baptizing people, and Jesus also comes to be baptized. We find the first miracle in Cana up in Galilee. Then we are led down into Jerusalem at the end of chapter 2. We meet with Nicodemus, the Pharisee, by night. And then in chapter 4, we find Jesus by the well of Samaria making his way north back to Galilee. We find there that there is a mighty miracle taking place. The nobleman's son healed from a great distance. But now back to Jerusalem. We read that there was a feast of the Jews. Out of Deuteronomy chapter 16, I read to you that there were three primary feasts of the Jews. John, for whatever reason, does not, although a single word would have helped us, John does not give us exactly which of the feasts was being celebrated at this time, but Jesus was in Jerusalem. Now, think with me about what you heard in Deuteronomy chapter 16. A feast was a time of the people remembering what God had done for them. It was a time when they were to break away for a day or even a week or more from what they usually did, that they might consider the work of God, that they might consider his kindness to them. In the Passover, how that he had brought them out of Egypt and out of slavery, for as Moses reminds them, he says, "You were slaves in Egypt, but God brought you out by a mighty hand." In the Feast of Weeks, he reminds them how that God has provided for them and how that there is a provision and that at that time of harvest there was great rejoicing. God reminds them in the Feast of Booths how that the people dwelt in the wilderness in huts or in tabernacles, in tents, and how that God provided for them. Well, it was a time of remembering, but it was also a time of celebration. The people were not there with long and heavy hearts and faces mourning, but it was a time of festival. It was a time of feasting, not as the other nations celebrated their God with revelry and with drunkenness and with debauchery, but yet there was to be a gladness before the Lord. They were to come before him with celebration, for their God was far greater than any other. So John, he tells us that there was a feast, an unnamed feast, and Jesus was there in Jerusalem, in the city of David, the city of the king, the crown prince of heaven, come to that central place in the hearts of the Jews. And John also tells us that in Jerusalem, there was a certain pool by the sheep gate, in Hebrew called Bethesda, and it had five porticos. Now, interesting that just as this is an unnamed feast, we're a little bit uncertain, though John does labor to give us description of this spot in Jerusalem, we're a little bit uncertain as to exactly where this is. The geography over the years of Jerusalem has changed very considerably as it has been captured and demolished and as it has been rebuilt time and time again. And so if we were to go to Jerusalem, we might struggle a bit. Different Bible students have identified different locations in Jerusalem. But the main point is not which feast it is, and the main point is not where exactly are we standing in Jerusalem. The main point is that there was a desperate, urgent need, and Jesus met that need. In the face of all of the struggles, in the face of all of the things that would seem to push back the very power of heaven, God's power was more than able to address this very need. So John describes the situation. Here we have laying about a multitude. I don't know exactly how many a multitude is, but I don't have the power to heal even one sick, one blind, or one lame, or one withered person of any of their infirmities. But here we have a multitude of human need laid out. And they were waiting for the moving of the waters. An angel of the Lord would come down at certain season, stir up the water, and the first one who entered would be made well from whatever affliction they had. Now we zero in on one particular man. And he also is anonymous. Do you ever think that you are an unnamed person living in some unknown place and that the time also is utterly irrelevant? This story is for you. don't know when, don't know exactly where, don't know his name, but Jesus comes to meet the need of this man. And also, see that although we don't know his name, don't know whether he was tall or short, whether he was fat or thin, we don't know anything else about him, but we know the length of the need that he had, 38 years. Now, 38 years is a long time for someone to be looking at the world from a horizontal position rather than most of us who look at it 5 or 6 feet up from the floor from a vertical position. Here, this man, ill for 38 years. We don't know whether that was the full extent of his life, but likely he had lived for some years, and so here he's in his 40s or even 50s. Jesus knew the depth of the need. He knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. And Jesus comes to him with a question. Do you want to get well? Do you want what I can give you? 38 years. I was reminded just in the past few days of what can happen in so short a time as a year. It was 1 year ago yesterday that we took possession of this building and started into the renovations, and then I won't bore you with the recounting the details once again, but all praise to God. 1 year, and what a transformation, and what a privilege to be sounding forth the word of God from this place to this community and to have you gathered here. 1 year. How much can take place? How much can take place in 38 times 1 year? Here, this man, he had seen likely many of his contemporaries pass away. He had seen others who he had grown up with rise in the business world, rise to prominence in some way or other. He had seen others being born and also rise, and perhaps some of them pass away. The usual lifespan of an ordinary worker in Jesus' time was likely about 30 or 35 years. People did not live a long time. So for this man to have been ill for 38 years, many people were looking at him as a wonder, wondering how he could even live that long, never mind be ill for that long. But Jesus comes and he speaks to the man, "Do you want to get well?" The man does not seem to understand who Jesus is, though he does address Jesus respectfully. He says, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, perhaps crawling and clutching his way along, another steps down before me." And here, once again, we have a sense of the heart break, the heart ache, the disappointments that have come time and time again. Perhaps the man has absolutely given up when the water is stirred. Instead of even trying anymore, he just assumes someone else is going to get in there before me. Why even stir myself? But Jesus, he reaches down to this man with the words, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." And we read that just as on creation morning, when the word of God was spoken and light came into being and grass started to sprout and animals started to dot the hillsides, immediately so this man became well. And he picked up obediently his pallet and began to walk. It was God's day. It was the Sabbath on that day. We would later read how that this man would be criticized for carrying his pallet. And he would respond to others saying, "He who healed me, he's the one who told me to pick up my pallet and to walk." People were very curious about this lawbreaker, this Sabbath breaker. But Jesus was the one who had come and changed this man. Does that sound like what you want? Jesus comes to each of us, and he does not kick down the door, but he does come, and he does knock, and he asks for admission. He knows what's on the other side of the door of your heart. He is not surprised by the mess that he will find there. He does not come, and he is not surprised by how wretched, how much corruption there is, but he comes and he knocks and he asks admission. Will you let him in? Now, the obvious question that comes to so many people is, says, look, I've been this way. This is who I am. I am a sinner. I am a drunkard. I am, and people fill in the blank. They say, I have been like this for 30 years. I've been like this for 40 years, 50 or 60 years. There's no hope for me. I just don't tell your stories to me. Offer them to somebody else. But Jesus is the one who comes. And when it seems like a whole life has come and gone, 38 years of affliction, 38 years of struggle, 38 years of disappointed hopes, 38 years of nothing different, everything the same. Jesus comes, and he's the one who changes the life from the inside out. And he's the one who comes, not just to the lame physically, but to those who have absolutely no spiritual strength at all, those of us who lay in our spiritual graves. He comes to us just as he came to Lazarus's tomb, and he says, come forth. He says, get up. Do what you cannot do in your own strength, for I will give you the strength that you need. Get up. Take up that very thing on which you have laid, which has been your crutch and your support, and move on in the power of God. I bid you, if you have never yet done that, this is the day for you. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the privilege of coming to your holy word. And we give you thanks for what you did to this anonymous man so long ago, at even the time of year we're not certain of. But Lord, that's not the point. The point is that your power is more than enough for whatever need we present. Lord, there are men and women here today who need a touch of your power. They need to know true life. They have existed, but they have never yet lived. Just as that man, he was breathing, his heart was beating, but yet he was without true life. Just as you gave that man such a wonderful gift so long ago, I pray that there would be men and women here today. When you come to them and when you look them in the face, and when you say, do you want what I can give you? I pray that they would eagerly, eagerly say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want your salvation. I want the life that you can give. I want your strength. I'm tired of trying to drag myself along by myself. I need your power within to cleanse and to renew. I need your direction to guide me. I need your mastery to lead me along at every turn. So, Lord, I pray that there would be men and women, as they call upon you in faith, as they come to you in repentance, that you would save them and that you would give them the confidence that heaven is now their home and their true destiny. So work, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.